All right, ready to dive deep. Today, it's Helvering v. Davis. Maybe not a household name, but this 1937 Supreme Court case. Huge. It underpins so much of what we consider, like, normal government stuff today. Social Security, Medicare, the whole nine yards.
What's wild is how this case tackled the idea of general welfare. Like, could the federal government create a whole national system for old age benefits? You know, Social Security. This wasn't just theoretical, though. There's a real person at the center, George Davis, a shareholder, trying to save some cash.
Okay, so Davis owns stock, right, in Edison Electric.
Okay.
And he is not happy. They have to start paying these Social Security taxes, brand new 1935 law. He sues to stop it, claims it's unconstitutional.
Classic David and Goliath.
Except this David. He takes his case all the way to the Supreme Court. And his argument, it's not nothing. He points to Article 1, Section 8, lists the powers of Congress. His claim, establishing funding old age benefits, that's not explicitly there, so it's got to be out of bounds. The strict constructionist argument. But this wasn't just some squabble over pensions. This became a battle over the whole meaning of general welfare in the Constitution. Like, what did those founding fathers really mean?
Exactly. For ages, there was this debate. Does general welfare mean Congress can only spend on stuff specifically listed in the Constitution? Or do they have this broader power to tackle any problem facing the nation as a whole?
So Davis is all about the narrow view, right? Old age pensions, that's a state issue, not federal. And he throws in the 10th Amendment for good measure. Powers not given to the feds, those are for the states. That whole deal.
He did. This became a clash of the titans, you know? Individual rights versus federal power, states' rights versus what the nation needed. The stakes were high. Supreme Court, 7-2 decision, sides with the government.
And that's where Justice Cardozo walks in. His majority opinion in Helvering v. Davis doesn't just settle the case. It practically rewrites the rules on federal power. This is where it gets fun. For legal nerds like us.
It's like he's saying, hang on, the general welfare clause, not stuck in the 1700s. It's got to evolve with the nation's needs. What might have been local back then, taking care of the elderly, well, it's national now. In our modern world, everything's connected.
So he's saying the Constitution isn't some static document, but it's alive. Breathes and changes with the times. Pretty bold, even today, for a Supreme Court justice.
It was. And it set the stage for a huge expansion of federal power. Cardozo's argument. It's not the court's job to second-guess every single policy Congress cooks up. Unless they're acting totally crazy, courts should stay out of their lane.
That's a lot of trust in the legislative branch. Congress, you do you. We judges, we won't micromanage. Something like that.
Well, there are limits, of course. But his opinion, it stresses separation of powers. Respecting what the legislative branch is supposed to do. After all, Congress, they're elected by the people. They should be the ones making these calls.
Right. Makes sense. But what about the 10th Amendment argument? How does Cardozo handle Davis saying Social Security is the feds overreaching, stepping on the state's toes?
He tackles it straight on. Cardozo points out, the states, they couldn't handle something as widespread as elderly poverty on their own. National crisis, national solution. He even gets into the practical stuff, how people move between states all the time.
Yeah, if one state has great benefits and another doesn't, everyone's going to flock to the good one, right?
Yeah.
Chaos. Unfairness.
Exactly. He argued federal action, it was necessary here, to tackle these national problems, ensure some level of fairness, security, for all citizens, no matter what state they call home. This is where Helvering v. Davis becomes bigger than just pensions.
It lays the groundwork for the whole modern administrative state. Without it, no Medicare, no federal disaster relief, no EPA probably.
Yeah.
So many things we take for granted.
You got it. But important to remember, Cardozo didn't give the government a blank check either. He gives us clues how courts should think about general welfare spending in the future. Like, is the problem national? Can states handle it themselves? Is Congress being reasonable?
Not a free-for-all then. There's a framework for deciding if federal action is legit.
Right. It's not a formal test, but those three questions, they become guiding principles in tons of cases after Helvering. And of course, the case itself hits all three points. That's why the court upholds the Social Security Act.
But it wasn't unanimous, was it? Can't forget about the dissenters. Not happy about this whole expansion of federal power thing. McReynolds and Butler, they weren't buying it.
Nope. Firmly in the states' rights camp, they saw the Social Security Act as, like, a straight-up violation. 10th Amendment, federal power grab, plain and simple. Stuck in that pre-New Deal mindset, government's role is small, but their view, it lost.
And Helvering v. Davis, With Cardozo's broad take on general welfare, it becomes the foundation for the modern administrative state we live with today.
Hmm.
Wild how a case about one guy's taxes could have such a huge impact.
It really shows you how these small legal fights can ripple out, change the whole course of history, and reminds us interpreting the Constitution, it's always evolving. It really does. I mean, think about it. We're still feeling the impact of Halvern v. Davis almost a century later.
Like that case, it opened a door, and there's no closing it now.
No.
This fundamental shift, right?
Yeah.
Gave the federal government this much bigger role in all our lives.
Exactly. It's not just about specific programs either, like Social Security. It's the principle of it. The feds can step in, address these national problems, even
yep.
if they're not, you know, spelled out word for word in the Constitution.
So not just black and white, what's written, but how we interpret those words, right? In the light of what's going on today. Cardozo seemed to get that. Those founding fathers, they couldn't have predicted everything. Constitution needs some wiggle room to adapt.
Right, right. A nation's needs, they change over time. And being super rigid about the Constitution could actually stop the government from, like, doing what it needs to do.
Which brings up a good question. How do we balance this? This idea of big federal power, but also worries about overreach. Where's the line?
Million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's still being debated. Courtrooms, legislatures, all over. Halvern v. Davis didn't end the argument. It just changed how we argue about it.
It's like Cardozo. He drew this line in the sand. Hmm. But that line gets kind of blurry sometimes. This constant push and pull, you know. Federal power, individual liberty, what the nation needs, what states want.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to really get Cardozo's reasoning. He wasn't just saying whatever Congress wants goes. There are principles here when federal action is, like, justified.
Right. Those three questions we talked about.
Yeah.
Is the problem national? Can the states handle it on their own? Is Congress being reasonable?
Yeah, those have become, like, touchstones in so many cases that came after Halvern. They give us a way to think about it. Is the Fed stepping in truly necessary?
Which brings us to today. Halvern v. Davis. How does it connect to the legal and political scene we see right now?
Oh, fingerprints are everywhere. Think about health care, the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, Medicaid. All those rest, at least partly, on that foundation. Laid by Halvern.
And it's not just social programs either, right?
Mm-hmm.
Environmental rules, consumer protection laws, financial stuff. So much of what the government does traces back to this one case.
You can't overstate its influence. It's like it created this legal path for the federal government to take on this way bigger role, regulating the economy, social services, all kinds of things that affect the whole nation.
So even though most folks have probably never even heard of Halvern v. Davis, they're living with the results. Every day.
It's kind of a paradox, isn't it? These big legal decisions, they fade into the background, but their impact, it's woven into, like, the very fabric of our society.
Makes you realize law isn't just, you know, abstract principles, dusty textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
It's about real people, real problems, and how legal decisions actually shape the world we live in.
Absolutely. And it's recognizing that how we interpret the Constitution, it's not static. It's a process. It reflects what society needs, what it values, and those change. Halvern v. Davis, prime example of how one case can be a catalyst for that kind of change.
And it leaves us with big questions, doesn't it? Still wrestling with them today. How much power should the feds have? When does it become too much? Individual liberty versus needing to act together. How do we balance all that?
Those are the questions, yeah. The ones that never go away in American democracy. And Halvern v. Davis, it gives us a glimpse into how those questions have played out in our history, both legal and political.
It's this reminder. The Constitution isn't just history. It's a living thing,
mm-hmm.
always being interpreted, reinterpreted, as new stuff comes up, as society changes its mind.
It is, and reminds us we all have a stake in this. Understanding cases like Halvern, it helps us navigate this stuff, the complex issues facing the nation today.
It really does.
Yeah.
You know, going through all this with Halvern v. Davis, it makes you think about the people at the center of it. This wasn't just lawyers arguing outright. It was real people, real problems, especially back then.
Oh, for sure. It's easy to get lost in the legal weeds. But this case, it came out of the Great Depression, a time when tons of people were struggling, poverty everywhere. The whole idea of Social Security, it came from that. Like, okay, the government's got to help create a safety net for people.
And George Davis, the shareholder who started it all, he had a point of view too, right? He saw this Social Security tax as, like, taking away freedom, another burden on businesses when things were already tough.
Yeah. Yeah. His side, they really believed in small government, people taking care of themselves. That view's still around today. It's important to get that, even if you don't agree with it.
That's the thing, isn't it? This back and forth, freedom for individuals, but also sometimes we got to do things together. Helvering v. Davis, it's such a good example of that struggle. Makes us ask, what's the government for? What's the law supposed to do? Big questions.
It does. And it reminds us there's no easy answers. It's always going to be a balancing act. Different values, different people wanting different things.
So bigger picture now, zooming out from this one case, what are the lessons here? How does law work? How does it change? How does it reflect, you know, the society it's in?
One big takeaway, I think. Law isn't stuck in time. It's alive. It changes. Social stuff, the economy, politics, all that shapes it. Helvering v. Davis, perfect example. Wow. A big change in society led to, like, reinterpreting the whole Constitution.
Almost like law is a conversation.
Right.
Back and forth between then and now.
Yeah.
The ideals we had, what's actually happening in the world.
I like that. And Helvering shows us that conversation can get messy. People disagree, fight it out. But in the end, things change. It reminds us what courts decide before. Not set in stone. We can challenge it, see it differently, even overturn it as we learn more.
So looking around today, politics, the legal world, all that, do you see Helvering v. Davis in there still having an effect?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime there's a debate about, you know, what the government should be doing, healthcare, schools, the environment, anything, we're basically going back to the same questions from Helvering. Mm. How much power should the feds have? When is it too much? Individual freedom versus doing what's good for everyone.
Wow, it's crazy. A case from almost 100 years ago, still shaping stuff today.
It is. And I think it shows these legal precedents, they have power. These big decisions can change how we see the Constitution, how we see the government's role for generations even.
Well, wrapping up this deep dive on Helvering v. Davis, I gotta say, I learned a lot. It's not just some boring old case. It shows how powerful ideas can be, how they shape history.
I agree. And it's a reminder, being involved in these debates, understanding both sides, that's important for any citizen in a democracy.
Couldn't said it better myself. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this session of The Deep Dive. Thanks for joining us on this journey digging into legal history. See you next time for another Deep Dive. We'll be tackling more cases that change the world.